Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I'd like you to open your Bibles to Psalm 78 and also take out your sermon notes. We're participating in One Day to Feed the World, where we challenge every person to give one day's wage to feed the hungry. One day's wage. It's been calculated that the average American makes $170 a day. And I figured it up. We have 132 adults, not kids, but 132 adults that regularly attend our services. If we have just 30% of our adults participate, we will raise $6,732 to feed the hungry. If we have 50% of us participate, it'll be $11,220. And if all of us got on board, we would raise $22,000 to feed the hungry today. Isn't that powerful? As we give at the close of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to give to One Day to Feed the World. We're going to split it 50-50 between two ministries. One is Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope is a disaster relief organization of the Assemblies of God. And just some statistics about last year in 2012, they served more than 6 million people were given assistance in food. 125,314 children are enrolled in their feeding initiatives where they receive food daily or sometimes every other day. It just depends on the finances they have and where they're at. But they feed children, that many children, 125,000 children, regularly through their feeding initiatives. They responded to 21 disasters. Right now, they are collecting goods, and they are on their way to the Philippines today to help with the typhoon that took place. They conducted 55 community outreaches worldwide where food and new clothing were distributed, medical and dental care was given for free, haircuts and cosmetics like facelifts and manicures, pedicures were given to impoverished people, and most of all, the gospel was presented at these outreaches. They provide clean water for communities and villages that do not have a clean water supply. They teach impoverished women a skill so that they can work and bring their families out of poverty. Last year, they distributed $68 million worth of product. And what's great is that every dollar that is given to Convoy of Hope through their corporate partnerships with Chick-fil-A and Walmart and many different other corporations, that $1 turns into $7 worth of food and product. So every dollar you give today is like $7. And so it's a very, very powerful, powerful ministry. We're going to give 50% to Convoy. The other 50% we're going to give to our very own food pantry, where every week we're distributing food, clothing, and giving haircuts. You may not realize this, but on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, this corner of our sanctuary and our back rooms look totally different than what they do. We have it set up, and people come in from Tuesdays from 4 to 6 and Wednesday mornings from 9 to noon. We are giving out free food, and people are able to shop for it. It's not just put in a bag, here, take it and run with it. People get to shop for it, and we have heard over and over how people feel a sense of dignity, a sense of honor. They receive love and care. It's not just a cold feeding program where you come and you're given a box or a bag of food and you walk out, but people really sense that we care and that we love them. And so far, and here's the exciting thing. Last year in 2012, we fed over 3,000 people for the whole entire year of 2012. This year, just from January to the end of October alone, it's 10,200 people we have fed. We have tripled the number of people that we are feeding in our weekly food pantry, 10,000 people. I want all of our food pantry volunteers, would you stand? All of our food pantry, those that work in the food pantry, stand up all across the building. I want you just to look around. These people are doing a great job. Of those 10,200, over 3,000 were children. We're feeding single-parent homes. We're feeding elderly that are on Social Security and barely getting by. We're feeding grandparents who are now taking care of sometimes their grandchildren, even their children who are living with them. And it's just a powerful ministry. We've given away 98,000 pounds of food. And those people that you saw just stand, they're the ones that bring it in and they unload it every week. I don't know about you, but that's some pretty big muscles. If you'd like to help in the food pantry, you can help them, especially because one of our men is now in an arm brace. He had rotator cuff surgery, and so they need some more help, all right? And if you'd like to sign up, you can see Barbara Walters. She's going to be out in the food pantry right by the door trying to snag as many volunteers as she possibly can today. She's going to shake your hand and say, join my team, because we're impacting this city for Jesus Christ and helping families. Not only do we provide physical food, but we're providing spiritual food. Families are being restored. People are being prayed for and healed. They're being prayed for, and they're getting jobs. Children are being reconnected back to their families. People are coming back to God. Some of you are here in the church today because of our food pantry. And so everything we give is going to these two ministries, Convoy of Hope and our food pantry. And I want you to turn to Psalm 78. We're going to take a look at this. And I know some people that say, why do we spend all this time and all this money feeding people? We should be devoting that time and money to going out and pounding the streets and hitting the pavement and witnessing and spreading the gospel. But if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to look at the top line of your notes. The reason we do what we do, the reason we're doing one day, is because God thinks everyone should have food. God thinks everyone should have food. In Psalm 78, it kind of gives an account of the nation of Israel as they came out of the land of Egypt. God had performed a miracle for Israel. For 400 years, they had been slaves in Egypt. But through 10 plagues on the Egyptians, Pharaoh finally let the people go, and the people were set free. But not only are they set free from slavery, God said, I want you to go to your neighbors, the Egyptians, and ask for whatever you want from them, and they will give it to you. Now, I want you to think about that. Well, what would happen today if God said that to us? Everyone here, hey, go to your neighbors and ask for what you want, and they'll give it to you. Really? I'll take your Corvette. I'll take your 4x4, your pickup truck. You know, I'll take your RV, your ATV, and your jet ski. You know, I'll take your fine china. I'll take your bank account. I'll take your jewelry, your gold, your silver, your precious gems. I'll take your 80-inch, you know, flat-screen TV with surround sound. How many of you could handle a deal like that if God says, ask and you shall receive? I mean, that would be pretty phenomenal. That would be pretty phenomenal. And so God compensated them for everything they lost in 400 years of slavery. They walked out not only with their pockets loaded, but with their wagons loaded, their backpack. I mean, everything was loaded. They went from rags to riches overnight. God has set them free from slavery. He's abundantly blessed them. But now Psalm 78 tells us what their response was and how God felt about it and treated them in accordance with that. Let's pick it up in verse 11 of Psalm 78. The very first thing they did, it says, they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. That's referring to the plagues. God set them free from Egypt. Verse 13, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. This is referring to when Pharaoh started chasing them. Pharaoh was ticked off. Why'd I let my free slave labor go? And he came after them. And God opens the Red Sea and Israel passes through. And when Pharaoh and the whole army came through, it closed up and they're destroyed. And they don't have to worry anymore about it. Their enemy has been destroyed. And also, you think about what that does to all the future enemies they're going to face. In fact, when they go in the Promised Land 40 years later, they are shaking in fear and trembling about this miracle that happened 40 years before the Red Sea. And so God sets them free, and in the daytime he led them with a pillar of cloud, and at night with a light of fire, so they knew exactly where to go, but they forgot everything. All of these blessings God has heaped upon them, they forgot about it. And in verse 17, it says they were rebellious and disobedient. It says they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. In verse 18, we see a demanding spirit. They tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. In verse 19, they doubt God. It says they spoke against God. It says, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock, so waters gushed out. Streams overflowed. But they say, can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? You have to realize there were well over 1 million people in the nation of Israel. There were probably 2 to 3 million at least. 2 to 3 million people. And there's no Walmart out in the desert, right? Where are you going to get food to feed 2 to 3 million people? And that's what, but despite all these miracles, that's what they're saying. They're doubting God. Can God make a table for us? Can God feed all of us? They're saying, no, he can't. They doubted him. They forgot all the works that he had done. And what is God's response to them worshiping other idols, to them creating the golden calf, to them doubting him, to them turning their backs and sinning like crazy? Verse 21, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came upon Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in him. Verse 23, underline this, yet. Even though he was angry and heartbroken that they had done all of these horrible things, it says, yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. They were full, not just a little bit. They had food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens. By his power, he brought the south wind. He also rained meat on them like dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp all around their dwellings, so they ate and were well filled, for he gave them of their own desire. Friends, as I look at the children of Israel, a rebellious, ungrateful, groaning, moaning, complaining people, God still provided food for them. Why? Because God wants everyone to have food. Scripture makes it abundantly clear. If you're taking notes this morning, point number one, God provides food for people. God provides food for people. It started in the beginning of history. You take a look at the Garden of Eden in Genesis verse 1 or chapter 1 verse 29. God said, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it will be for food. And from that point on, God continues to provide food for people. He provided food for Noah in Genesis 9, chapter 3. He says, every moving thing, I'm giving it to you. It's for food. I've given you all things, the green herbs. Jacob's family, when there was a famine in the world, in Genesis 42, he provided food for them. In Exodus chapter 16, he provides food for the children of Israel as slaves. When they're still in slavery in Egypt, God provided food for them. He provided manna and quail for them in the desert. And because he's generous, we just read how he gave them all that they could eat. We see in Psalm 37, verse 25, he gives food to the righteous. In Psalm 132, verse 15, he gives food to the poor. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah the discouraged prophet, God gives him food. To the hungry and tired disciples, they've been out fishing all night. Jesus makes them breakfast, fish and chips up on the shore in John 21. And then we see at the end of time, there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's food for us in heaven in Revelation chapter 19 and 22. Friends, God provides food for people. He's done it all throughout history, and he still wants to do that. He wants to provide food today. But many times he just doesn't rain manna and quail. I would say most of the time he doesn't rain manna and quail. Sometimes he does miracles. I know a family that was very poor. They had nothing in their cupboards, in their fridge, in anything. And they went to bed that night. The husband and wife, they prayed for food. And the next morning they came down and the kids were making bacon and eggs and they had orange juice and toast. And they said, "Where'd you get this?" "It was in the refrigerator." God supernaturally provided for them. And friends, God does that. But you know something? That's not usually the way he works. That brings us to point number two in our notes. God has his children help provide food for the poor and hungry. Most of the time, God uses us. He has us, his children, provide food for those that are poor, that are hungry, that are needy, that are destitute. We see that God has never intended us to turn a blind eye to poor people. He wants us to have compassion on them. We are the body of Christ, and we are to be his hands extended as to how he reaches out to them. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 7, it says, "If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates of your land which the Lord is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother." Psalm 41, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor, for the Lord will deliver him out of the time of trouble." God looks out for those who look out for the poor. He blesses us. It tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed because he gives his bread to the poor. You know, it is easy, and I do this. It's easy to do this. We can see so many people standing on the street, and we hear about needs, and it's like, well, do they really need it? If I just give them money, are they going to go blow it on drugs or blow it on alcohol? You know what I encourage you to do? Drive to Wendy's or drive to McDonald's and give them food. Get them some burgers and give them some food. I don't advocate giving them money because you don't know what they'll do with it, but you can give them food, and you can pray for them. And we need to be careful because sometimes when we see people, we get a hard heart. There's another one of those people. And God says, don't harden your heart. And friends, I'm preaching this to me. We need to be open. And sometimes we clutch on to our possessions so tight, especially in this economy, especially as we have things break down, especially as we're wondering, how are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to take care of our needs? Our family needs help. And yet, our money is not our money. Did you realize that? Even though your name is on the checking account or savings account, that's not your money. Some of you are looking at me like, what do you mean? Friends, our money is really God's money, and we are just stewards. In fact, everything we have is a gift from God, and we're just stewards. We're managers of it, and we are to take care of it and distribute it. And so we need to have sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Now hear me. I'm not saying that you go out and you give away all your money to every single poor person you see. When Jesus was in Israel, he did not heal every sick person, every blind person. He did what the Father told him to do. And here's the key. We need to be living our life with open ears towards heaven, saying, God, everything I have is yours. How do you want me to use your resources to bless other people? And we need to be open-hearted to give to the poor, give to the needy, whatever it might be. I've heard of people that they've been walking down the street and God says, you've got two winter coats, give the coat off your back. But God, this is my brand new leather coat. I want you to give them that coat. I know some people have been told, give that person your watch, and they give them a watch. I know people that have been told to give cars away. I'm not saying what you should give. I'm saying, let's not live our lives with such a hard heart and such a me spirit that we're not open to being used of God. Because you know something I found out? I can never outgive God. And I encourage you in a few moments from now, as we receive this offering for one day to feed the world, to give one day's wage. Some of you, God might be saying, give more. Some of you, you're in a real financial crunch, and even one day's wage is tough. What would God say to you to give to feed the hungry of Casper and those around the world? Let's not harden our hearts, because God has a generous eye to those who bless the poor. He blesses us, and He uses us to feed the poor. And the last point that I want us to look at this morning, when we provide food to the hungry, it often opens a door. When we provide food to the hungry, it often opens a door. I heard a story of a single mom. Her name was Barbara, and she had two children. And she had been married for 16 years, and for the 15 out of 16 years, every day of her life, she was beaten by her husband. Finally, sick and tired of it, she left town, she moved to another city, but she got involved in another abusive situation. And through all the abuse and all of this, she became a drunk, and one of the biggest drunks around, and she was trying to do the best she could, but she just threw all of her money into drugs and alcohol because she was trying to make herself numb, trying to escape the pain that she was experiencing. Well, Convoy of Hope had an outreach in her community, and one of her neighbors invited her to it. And they says, hey, you can get some free groceries, and there's activities for the kids. There's bouncy houses and face painting and all these other things. You can have some free time. And she thought, man, free food, that's cool. And my son can have something to do. So she went to this outreach, but when she was there, the ladies at the outreach, they just hugged her and told her how much they loved her and they cared about her. And it was through that, Barbara said, for the first time in my life, someone hugged me and they didn't want something from me. There was love with no strings attached. And it was about 2 months later, she decided, I want more of that love. And she invited Jesus Christ into her life, all because of an outreach that gave away free food. And not just giving food, but there were people that also gave unconditional love. It opened a door to her heart. And friends, that happens today. God has opened up through Convoy of Hope overseas, as they have done water projects in Africa alone, as they have done projects in North Africa giving fresh water to different villages. There are 30 men from Muslim backgrounds that have become born-again Christians, and they're having small group Bible studies in their homes. When you and I give to the poor, it opens a heart to the gospel. And we have seen people in our own food pantry, people that have, when they first come, they're hard, they're closed, they're shut down. But as our men and women love on them, as they treat them with dignity, as they say, how can I help you? Here, take some more food. We don't limit really anyone. There's canned goods, you can have so much, but all the produce and fruit, we just give it away. And you know what's something that's amazing? Even though we're feeding 10,000 people, three times more than what we were last year, we have not run out of food yet by a Wednesday afternoon. We still have a little bit of food left. And here's the interesting thing. We've given away 98,000 pounds of food this year. Last year, for the whole year, we gave away like 108,000 pounds for only 3,000 people. So somehow we have fed 7,000 more people with 10,000 pounds less food. I can't explain that, except for one word, Jesus. And so some of you say, well, man, if God's doing that, I don't need to give to the food pantry. God will provide. Here's the thing I know. When there is abundant provision, I've seen God, He says, okay, you're feeding this many, I'm just going to open the doors and give you more. Because you see, there are people in Casper that need Jesus, and the people are warming up. And our food pantry director, Barbara Walters, came to me a few weeks ago and said, and we were talking about Christmas, what are we going to do for Christmas this year for our food pantry people? And she says, Pastor, God has told me that for the past 2-3 years, we have been building bridges with these people. And we don't shove the gospel down their throat. We're here to pray for them, but God has shared with me that this Christmas, a time of giving gifts, every family that comes into the door needs a personal presentation of the best Christmas gift ever. And so we're going to be setting up in this sanctuary on December 17th and 18th, kind of nice, trying to make living room environments cozy, comfortable. But every family that comes in, we want to share with them the best Christmas gift that you could ever have and share Jesus with them. Because as for the past 2-3 years, as we've been opening our hearts and just filling their lives with love and with food, we're praying for God to open doors and people to get saved. I want you to begin praying with us now. We've got a month. Begin to pray and say, God, bring people in. And be praying for, we're going to need some personal soul winners to share their testimony and stuff. And for some of us, we don't like talking to people. But God says, you're the light of the world. I've given you power to be witnesses. Friends, God is opening doors through our food pantry and through Convoy of Hope, and He wants to open even more, but we need your help. We need three things. We need you to pray. How many can say pray? We need you to help out in our food pantry. And you can do that by seeing Barbara right after service, but the last thing is, we need you to give. If you can give one day's wage, give one day's wage. If God says more or He says less because you're going through a struggle, that's fine. We want you to give what God says to give. But friends, one day to feed the world can change the world.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com. or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.